Today's shiur is Masechta Shabbos, Daf Kuf Mem Gimel, and we will begin on Daf Kuf Mem Beis on the Beis, seven lines from the bottom, Abaya Monach Kappa Akipi. In our previous shiur, at the end of the shiur, we discussed that if somebody has a muksa item that he absolutely needs to move, the Gemara said what you could do is put a kikar or a tinnik, put something non-muksa on top of it, and like that you'll be able to move it. But the last word that we learned in our shiur yesterday was v'le'amru kikor tinnik. When Chazal gave us this advice of putting a kikor tinnik on top of something muksa to be able to move it, was said, the Gemara said, el meis blavad, when we have a mace that obviously is muksa, we need to move him. So that's when Chazal gave us this advice to how to move him. From which we discussed that, and under other circumstances, we may not rely on that type of advice. But the Gemara begins today's shiur by telling us, Abaye manach kapa akipi. Abaye would put a spoon on top of grain. Grain that was muksa, Abaye would put a spoon on top of it to be able to move it. Rava manach sakina abar yoina. Rava would put a knife on top of raw dove meat, which is again muksa, it's not edible, it's raw meat, to be able to move it. So Amar Rabbi Yosef, so when Rabbi Yosef became aware of what Abaye and Rava were doing, he commented, how sharp these young Talmid Chacham are. And it was sort of a questioning comment. He was saying, this that they're doing, is this really halachically acceptable? Because as we said, when did Chazal say that we could rely on carrying muksa that way, b'shecheyach. If you forgot, and now you're in a difficult situation, so that's where Chazal said that you could move muksa and by putting something mutter on top of it. But to deliberately rely on doing something like that, is that what l'chatchila mi omar? Is that what they meant? So says the Gemara, Amar Abaye. So Abaye, to defend himself, said, "Ilav the Adam Choshevana, if not that I was a distinguished individual, kapa kapalomali, I wouldn't really need to put a spoon on top of these produce, because ha chazul mizgalai." What Abaye was really saying was that these the items that he put the spoon on top of really weren't muksa, because they were usable, as Rashi explains, to sit on. So they're really not muksa. And Amar Rava. And Rava made the same comment. And no, ilav d'odem choshva no, if not that I was a distinguished individual, sakina b'ryon ilamali, I wouldn't need to put the knife on the raw dove meat, because hachazel umtza could be eaten raw. And since it could be eaten raw, it's not really muksa. And then we'll discuss, is this raw meat really not muksa or not? But as far as we're concerned, what the Gemara means, what Abaye and Rava were really saying, is that we're not dealing with a muksa situation. And the only reason we did it is because, as Rashi explains, we acted this way so people shouldn't take the wrong lesson from us. And people should think that you could be lenient in Hilchas Muksa. And we see from here that whenever there's a question, the Shnar Mitzrayim Balacha points this out, whenever there's a question of something is mutter or asur, and even though technically it's mutter, a Talmud Chacham should be machmer. And the reason a Talmud Chacham should be machmer, because people learn from the way Talmid Chacham act, and he makes a very important point. People are more anxious to learn chumris, kulis, than they are to learn chumris. They're more anxious to learn a leniency. And therefore, because they're anxious to learn a leniency, they're going to see that these Talmid Chacham were lenient, and they'll expand on that leniency even when it's not appropriate. And that's why Talmid Chacham has to go out of the way to be machmer to avoid such a problem. Says the Gemara, what was Rava saying? That because the meat was edible raw, tama the chazal umtza, because the meat was edible raw, that's why I don't have a muksa issue. It seems Were it meat that were not edible raw, loy, he would hold that it's muksa. So as we've discussed throughout this mesechta, we have a machlokes Rav and Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon towards the attitude towards muksa. Rabbi Yehuda has a stricter attitude to muksa. Rabbi Shimon has a more lenient attitude to muksa. So it seems the lemmer, the Rav of Rabbi Yehuda, the Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore he holds that raw meat is muksa. Ask the Gemara, is that true? V'amar Rav l'shamei. Once Rav said to his assistant, Tava libar avza, roast for me a goose, v'shadimei l'shonra. And there's a machlokes Rashi in Tosfos, how to understand what this Gemara means and how it is relevant to what we're discussing in today's shiur. Rashi says that we're speaking about Yontif. Yontif, we know, we're allowed to shecht a bird, we're allowed to shecht an animal. And what happened over here was that the bird, this goose, was going to be slaughtered on Yontif. If it was going to be slaughtered on Yontif, it was something that was designated for human consumption. And then they ended up shechting it on Yontif, and now you have the intestines of that meat. The intestines of that goose were not eaten by people. They were given to the animals to eat, to the cat to eat. So it became a machel behema. So even though yesterday, before Yontif, it was a machel adam, and today on Yontif, it's a machel behema, so that's a new entity, it ought to be muksa, Rava wasn't concerned. That's how Rashi learns. Tosfos learns a different pshat. Tosfos learns that the intestines of this animal became spoiled, and they were not edible only to animals. And since it's not edible only to animals, because it's not good meat, so that's why it should be considered muksa. And Rava didn't feel that was an issue, and he allowed the animals to be fed that meat. Hasam, says the Gemara, that is not true. Rava can maybe follow Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. But as we've discussed numerous times as we've tried to analyze what muksa is all about, when we speak about muksa, we speak about something that a person doesn't assume or think about that he's going to use on Shabbos, Yontif. But something that a person expects to use on Shabbos and Yontif, so that elevate, he thinks about it, and it doesn't become muksa. And that's exactly what happens over here, says the Gemara. Everybody knows that this is what's going to happen to the intestines of the goose. And since everybody's aware that that's what's going to happen to the intestines of the goose, he has in mind before Yontif that I want to have that food available for my animals. And that's why even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that it's not muksa. Says the Gemara, actually, I bring you a raya that Rava does hold like Rabbi Yehuda. The Darish Rava, a woman should not enter a woodshed to take a piece of wood to stir the coals, because Rabbi Yehuda holds that wood was generally set aside for firewood. And firewood, obviously, is muksa. It can't be used for any other purpose. And furthermore, even if it broke, and now it can't be used for firewood, kalim, you could use the not muksa, a chair, a table, a not muksa. Something that broke on Yontif, as we discussed many times in our shurim, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is noilad. And noilad is actually a very serious type of muksa. So we see that Rava actually concurs, shmamina, that Rava concurs with the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Beshama Omrim, says the Mishnah, Beshama is of the opinion, Mavir ma'al shulchan atzomas v'klipin. So we have here a very big issue. You have on your table bones and peels from foods, and they're all muksa. How could you take them off the table? Bishami says, they made mavirim, we could remove them from the table. Basila of the opinion is, you can't touch them. And as we're learning the Mishnah right now, we'll discuss this in the Gemara soon, in Mitzvah Shem. But when we learn the Mishnah, Bishami is the more lenient opinion. And Bishami says, when you have such a situation, The halacha is that it's not, we're not worried about muksa. And Beisil, who is concerned about muksa, says you can't directly touch the muksa items and remove them from the table. Rather, what you need to do is mesalka a tavla kula, move the entire table, or menara, and shake off the muksa. So the Rashba and the Ritva asks, how can I pick up the table? The table is a bosses l'davar asur. And we've learned so many times that something which is a bosses l'davar asur, we can't move on Shabbos. So the Rishonim answer that there are two reasons why we should be lenient here. Number one, it's not your regular situation of muksa. Again, because we've discussed so many times. The classical time, the pertinent time, when something becomes muksa is by Bein HaShemashas. Here we're talking about peels that were put on the table later during Shabbos. So it's not to mean that something can't become muksa on Shabbos. Of course something becomes muksa on Shabbos. But something that is only becomes muksa during Shabbos is a weaker form of muksa than something that becomes muksa on Shabbos itself. So here, number one, it only, as we just explained, it only became muksa on Shabbos itself, not before Shabbos, not by Bein HaShemashas. Furthermore, when they were put on the table, it was with a clear understanding that it's not something that we want that should remain on the table. So given all of those considerations, that's why the regular halacha, abasas l'davar asur, will not apply. Continues the Mishnah, Mavir ma'al ha-shulchan, perurin, pachas mikazayas. We can remove from the table crumbs that are less than a kazayas. V'seir shalafunim, v'seir adoshim, pea pods and lentil pods, v'nei shumachal behema. Because all of these are machal behema, that's why we could be more lenient. And here, there's a very important discussion. The reason why they could be moved from the table is because they're not muksa. Why they're not muksa? Because the halacha is, because they're a machal behema. So now the question is, when we speak about such a situation where the food, it's not really edible, it's not there for human consumption, can I move it because I could give it to my animal? So I saw that Rabbi Benzion Abba Shaul in his Shailos HaTshuvos Or L'Tzion discusses the Shaila. He says, food which is roi for machal behema, he says, is only not considered muksa if in a place where, there, and we've discussed this previously as well, in a place where there are animals there. But if it's a place where there are no animals, to say because it can be used as animal food, that won't be adequate if there are no animals there. If, so he says, if it's not edible to animals, or it's edible but it becomes mius, or there are no animals, then this halacha would not apply. So now the question comes up. If something is really not edible, we have a very big issue if we could just pick them up and move them. And the question comes up, particularly I saw that Rav Nissim Karelitz Tzal in his Sefer Chut HaShani discusses this regarding Erev Pesach that comes on Shabbos. We know when Erev Pesach is on Shabbos, we eat chametz Shabbos morning. We have to have Suda Shabbos. We even have to have actually Shalosh Shudas. And then we have to clean up the crumbs because we have to get every chametz out of our home. And they're not in our world where we don't really eat crumbs of food. The question is, why aren't they muksa? So, especially the crumbs that fall on the floor. Nobody's going to eat food crumbs that are on the floor. And he actually wants to connect it to a machloikus achronim. He says, the Chazan Ish was lenient in checking Sfarim, if cleaning your Sfarim. Because he says, even if there are Sfarim, even if there are crumbs in your Sfarim, they're very insignificant, and we need not be concerned about them. The Briskerov held differently. The Biskarov held that, of course, when it comes to chametz, we want to get any drop of chametz out of our helm, and even small crumbs we want to be concerned about. So he says, really, this machloikis of the Chazon Ish and the Biskarov will be very relevant to this question. If you consider the crumbs significant, they're significant enough, like the Biskarov says, that you want to get them or out of your house, so then they're significant enough that they shouldn't be considered muksa. Whereas, according to the Chazon Ish, that they're not so significant, and the halacha is you don't really have to clean for them, so then maybe they should be muksa. And now you're going to have to figure out how to move them. Of course, you'll have to try to move them klach yad, with a shinui, to avoid any problems. Says the Mishnah Vayta, Sfug, a sponge, im yesh loy beis or beis achiza, if it has a leather handle, we could use it to wipe the table even when it is damp. However, vimlav, if it doesn't have that type of handle, then emekan chabo, we can't use it. Because we need to be concerned, if you're holding the sponge in your hand, you need to be concerned that it's going to squeeze out some of the liquid. And we are going to begin learning in today's shiur, particularly in the next parak in Mitzvah Shem, Hilchas Shechita. On the other hand, the Chacham's opinion is, Ben kach nitl b'Shabbos, it could be moved on Shabbos when it's dry, because it's considered a keli, v'ene mekabel tumah, but it's not mekabel tumah, because it doesn't have any of the characteristics of what the Torah says. When the Torah says that a kelim amakabel torma, the Torah speaks about a kli eitz, oi beged, oi or, oi sak, or metal. And a sponge doesn't have any of these concerns. So our Mishnah spoke about under what circumstances we can move a sponge and what circumstances we can't. So he said, so the Rambam, in explaining our Mishnah, says that when one holds a sponge with a handle, it's not certain the liquid will be squeezed out. Therefore, using such a sponge is permitted as long as one doesn't intentionally squeeze it to get liquid out. Certainly, the Rishonim, according to the Rambam, says that if you have a slightly damp sponge, where, again, using it will not automatically cause liquid to come out, it's the same as holding a sponge by its handle. So in other words, according to the Rambam, when the Mishnah speaks about a handle, we don't really have sponges with handles. It's not the handle that makes the difference. The issue is, will liquid come out or not? Deli Rabbah is machmer. He says we have to follow the Pashut Pshat of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, in order to be able to use a sponge, it has to have a handle. I don't know anything else. But according to most Rishonim, they say that the issue is only if we're concerned that by using the sponge, liquid will come out. And if there's no such concern, we can use the sponge. However, the Ravid disagrees with the Rambam. And he says, even a sponge that with a handle you could use. So according to the Rambam, the thing that makes a difference is if liquid will come out, we have a problem. If liquid won't come out, we're fine. The Ravid holds that even if you use a sponge that is full of liquid, and that it, for sure liquid will come out, if it has a handle, you're still allowed to use it. And he explains that if water comes out of a sponge that has a handle, it's no different than pouring water from a pitcher. There's no one that would suggest that you're not allowed to pour water from a pitcher. This is no different. So actually, the Paiskim, the Chazon Ish, explain that what is the nafkamina, what is the basis for the machloikus of the Rambam and the Ravid. So he says that the Rambam holds that the Isser of Schita that we're speaking about is based on kibus, laundering. And therefore, according to the Rambam, the issue is, if water comes out, it's considered like you did kibbutz. If water doesn't come out, it doesn't look of kibbutz. However, the Ravid holds that the issa of schita is not kibbutz. The issa of kibbutz is dosh, threshing. So if you extract liquid from a garment, it's like taking juice, we're going to learn in the next Mishnah, from a fruit, which is all a toldah of dosh. Says the Ravid, it's not only taking fruit out of a jar, juice out of a fruit, it's taking anything by squeezing out a garment, squeezing out a piece of material. But in a situation where you have water in a pitcher, that's not called dosh. It's not that you squeezed it out. And therefore, the Ravid will hold that the handle makes it be comparable to the to a situation of pouring water out of a pitcher, which no one can consider as the melacha of dosh. Begins the Gemara. Our Mishnah said that you, according to Beis Shammai, you can move from the table bones and peels that are muksa, and Beis Hillel was machmer. Comments the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman, Ono Ein Lanu, we know just the opposite, that Beis Shammai are machmer like Rabbi Yehuda. As we said earlier in our shiur, Rabbi Yehuda has the stricter interpretation of muksa. Beis Hillel are the ones that hold like Rabbi Shimon that are lenient. And therefore, our Mishnah, we should reverse the opinions, with Beis Shammai being the machmer and Beis Hillel being the mekel. And as I saw the Rishonim bring a raya, Masechta Idyos lists all the places in Shas where Beis Shammai is the mekel, because typically Beis Shammai is the machmer and Beis Hillel is the mekel. And there are listed all the places where Beis Shammai is the mekel and Beis Hillel is the machmer. This case that we just discussed in our Mishnah is not mentioned in Masechta Idyos. Why not? Because actually, the right way of learning is, like Rav Nachman taught us, indeed Beis Hillel is the mekel and Beis Shammai is the machmer. We learned further, Mavirin, Malashochen, Peruin. We should remove from the table the crumbs, and because they're not muksa, they're a machal behema. Says the Gemara, Mesailele Rabbi Yochanan. So the way Rashi explains our Gemara, our Mishnah used the word mavirin when it spoke about the crumbs. This is a right to what Rabbi Yochanan taught us. Dom Rabbi Yochanan, Perurin, when you have crumbs, shem ben kazayis, even though they're so insignificant, they don't even have a kazayis, also avdim b'yad, we're not allowed to destroy them. Therefore, we have to come up a way of treating them respectfully. And the raya is because here the Mishnah used the word mavirin. Tosfos, Divrei HaMaskil Perurin, has a problem with Rashi's approach. He says, if we look at the beginning of the Mishnah, when it spoke about things that are real muksa, it also didn't say, it used the same wording. So how could Rashi say that that's the raya? Furthermore, he says that the Gemara Masechta Brachos, Daf Nun Beis Amud Beis, Rabbi Yochanan tells us, Mutar La'aved Perurin B'yad. If something is insignificant, it's just crumbs, we may destroy it. So how can we learn that we may not? And therefore, Tosfos has the opposite Gerson al Gemara. And Tosfos' Gerson al Gemara is Mutar La'avdon. Since they're only so insignificant, we may destroy them. We learned further in the Mishnah, Seir Shalafonim, we could remove from the table pea pods and lentil pods because they're also usable as animal food, says the Gemara. Mani, so whose opinion does this represent? Rav Shimon, he obviously represents the opinion of Rav Shimon, the Lesley Muksa, that doesn't hold of Muksa, even in a situation of Noilid, because these pods weren't animal food until you took out the beans from inside. But ask the Gemara, Amos Sefer, let's continue learning our Mishnah, Svoi, when we spoke about the damp sponge, Im Yesh Loi Beis Achiz Mekan Chamba, if it has a handle, you'll have to wipe the table with it. Vimlav, if not, Mekan Chamba. Whose opinion does that represent? Osun, that represents the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Dom Adovashayna Meskavin, even though I'm not intending to squeeze any water out, it's still Osur. So how do we understand our Mishnah? Does our Mishnah follow the opinion of Shimon? Does our Mishnah follow the opinion of Yehuda? Answers the Gemara, Bahafil of Shimon Maida. Even though Shimon normally is lenient by Dovash and Mskavin, he'll agree. He will agree that it's an issue. The Bayi Rav Adam Tavayu, Maida Basir of Shimon, Psikreish Velayamas. Something that will certainly happen is not considered a Dovash and Mskavin. And if you're going to squeeze a damp sponge, it's certainly going to, liquid will come out, and therefore even Rav Shimon would hold that it's considered muksa. Says the Gemara, Hani garinin the tarmi amaisa, the pits of these Armenian dates, which were fed to animals. Shoril taltuna, you may move them in Shabbos. However, chazir agav iman, since they were ready, usable when they were in the fruit still. So the way I saw the easiest pshat that I learned, the tamarim itself were a low quality food, a low quality date. And since they were low quality date, they were always used, the fruit itself was used as a machal behema. And therefore it's not muksa, it's a machal behema from before Shabbos. However, the precisa, the pits of the Persian dates, which are expensive dates and are not used for animal food. And now when we have the pit come out, usur, on Shabbos, as Shabbos began, this fruit was a Meichel Adam. And now it becomes a Meichel Behema, as we learned earlier, according to the Rabbi Yehuda, that is something which is Noilad and is Muksa. Shmuel, Metatlo Gav Rifta. What Shmuel would do is when he had such pits, he would put them on top of bread. And since he would put them on top of bread, that was the way he avoided the problem of muksa, because he was carrying the bread. Says the Gemara, Sharnam Shabbat Simon, Shmuel Latamei. How did Shmuel do it? How did Shmuel put something on bread? Dama Shmuel, awesome Adam, Kotzarch Bepas. A person could do whatever he wants with bread, and it's not considered a bazillion to the bread. So here too, since he's using the bread to carry the pits, that's not considered that he was disrespectful to bread, and he may do so. However, the Mishnah Berurah teaches us that although you're allowed to put everything on bread according to Shmuel, that's only in a situation where you won't make the bread inedible. But if by doing this you make the bread inedible, that you may not do. Rava, how would Rava do it? Lava matatla kana gamaya. He would move them with a bucket of water. And I think it's important to point out, going back to something we discussed at the beginning of the shiur. We learned at the beginning of the shiur, if you have something muksa, you can't just move it by putting it on something that's not muksa. The way to understand the Gemara is that when Shmuel had this pit, he expelled it onto a piece of bread. The bread, and if that's where the pit is now, you can move the bread. Similarly, when Rava had that pit, he would expel it into a bucket of water, and the bucket of water can be moved, and if the pit is in the bucket of water, you can move the bucket of water as well. Rav Hunabrei Devshua Avalo Graf Shalrei. As we've discussed many times in our Masechta, a Graf Shalrei is something which is very unpleasant. You're allowed to take out of the room on Shabbos. Even if it's Muksa, Chazal were lenient and allowed us to move it. And he had a pile of these pits sitting on your table on Shabbos. It's a Graf Shalrei and you can move it. Amalei Rav Ashi Lameima. So Rav Ashi asked him, V'chi oisin Graf Shalrei l'chatchila? The heter of moving a Graf Shalrei is only when you're faced with such a situation. When you're faced with a situation of a Graf Shalrei, so the halacha is, move it. But to go deliberately and create a Graf Shalrei, you're not allowed to do that. Rav Sheshi Zarek LeBelishnei, Rav Sheshi would toss them beyond the table with his tongue to a place that they weren't visible. Rapapa Zarek LeChuri Amiti would toss it behind the couch on which he was sitting. He would turn his face. It's not nice to expel something in front of all the guests. He would turn his face around, and then Zarkin, he would expel him from his mouth and leave him there in a non-visible place until after Shabbos when they would clean him out. Hanu loch noitel, hanu loch noitel, hanu loch noitel. Begins the Mishnah. Chavish Nishbra. If you have a wine cask that was broken, so this goes back to what we discussed earlier in our Masechta on Daf Kuf Yud Zayin, when there was a fire, and again, it wasn't Sakanas Nefashis. What we're allowed to do. So here we're concerned that if we're going to allow the person to do whatever he wants to save that wine, he may come to bring a keli, another vessel, through the Rosh Hashanah to catch it. The Ramah says that we're concerned, this is the Ramana Arachayim Simon Shin Lamed Hey Sif Aleph, we're concerned that he may come to fix the barrel on Shabbos. And in fact, I saw that the Sfas Emes, the Magen Avraham explains, our Gemara early in the Masechta said, we're concerned that you're going to carry to, from the Shusha Rabbim to save it. So why did the Ramah come up with a new reason? So the Magen Avraham says, in the time of the Ramah, there were very few real Shusha Rabbims. So the concern that somebody's going to carry something through Shusha Rabbim is not really there. So the Ramah says there's a different consideration. The consideration is that you may come to fix the barrel. But if you're limited in what you can do, then we could be more lenient. Furthermore, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, this halacha, that you can only save enough food for three meals, is only when you are bringing more and more kalim to save it. But if you're saving it, if you have one keli in which you're catching the dripping wine, the halacha is that you could only, then you could fill up that keli even if it holds more than three meals worth. And the halacha is not only can you save, the halacha is boi v'atzilo lachem. You could also save for yourself. So Rashi says that even though we're allowing other people to save, they're only allowed to save the amount for three meals. However, the Ran disagrees. He says that the other people are not as concerned, it's not their wine, as the person whose wine it is. And therefore, by other people, the halacha is that they could save as much as they want. And as when we learned, when we quoted this machloikus earlier in our Masechta, we said it really depends. If the person who's telling the other people who save to save the wine may keep the wine, so then it becomes theirs, and therefore they're limited. If it's not going to be kept by them, they're not that concerned, they're not that limited. There's also, when we learned this halacha regarding the mazon, food for Shal Sudas, we said only Friday night, when there are three meals still on Shabbos, is the halacha could save three meals. By day, two meals, and the afternoon, one meal. There's a machlokes rishonim, what is that halacha also going to be by the wine? That it depends on what time on Shabbos you're doing this. Depending, that will make a difference how much you could save. Or by wine, you could always save three sudas. However, says the Mishnah, you have to be careful not to use a sponge to sponge up the spilled wine, because you may squeeze the sponge, and if you squeeze the sponge, now we have the issue that we discussed a few moments ago about Schita. And since our Mishnah mentioned Schita, we go further with Hilchas Schita. And teaches us the Mishnah, Ein Seichtem Saperis, Leitzen and Mashkin. You're not allowed to squeeze fruit to get liquid out of it. V'myotzum atzman. Not only may you not squeeze a fruit to extract juice, if the juice came out itself, Chazal made a gzeira that they were concerned that if we're going to allow you to drink juice that comes out by itself, you may come to squeeze the juice, which of course is awesome. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Im Lo'ichlan, if you have the food stored for eating purposes, then Daloch is Ayotzmen Mutter. Anything that comes out by itself is Mutter, because you don't really want the liquid, you want the fruit. And Lamashkin, if your purpose of putting away this fruit was for juice, then he will agree that it's asur. Chalstavash, so the honeycombs that are in the beehive, which were taken out, then they're chopped up, and the honey oozes out. So says the Mishnah, Chalstavash shiriskam erev Shabbos, if you have these honeycombs that were chopped before Shabbos, and then the honey comes out by themselves on Shabbos, so again, Tanakama says, Asurin, because we're concerned that we're going to allow you to use this honeycombs, then we are concerned that you're going to squeeze them on Shabbos as well. Rabbi Lazar holds matter. If they were chopped before Shabbos, the way the Rishonim explain, then we have no concern that we're going to squeeze them on Shabbos. Because once they're chopped, they're not chopped again. This discussion that we have now in the Mishnah and the Gemara Mitzvah Shem regarding fruit that was put away for eating purposes or fruit that was put away for drinking purposes has very significant nafkamina regarding Hilchas Brachas. Fruit that's used to squeeze juice from, So the juice that comes out, since that's the purpose of the fruit, then the halacha is that you make the bracha of that fruit. You'll make ko'eitz on that fruit. Otherwise, you'll make a shahakal. Says the Gemara, Tana lo yispik b'yayin. One shouldn't take a sponge to sponge up spilled water in Shabbos. V'lo yitapeach b'shemen. One shouldn't moisten his hands with spilled oil and then wipe that oil into the oil barrel. Shloyask derech she'asu b'chol. Here, the consideration is that uvdin d'chol, because there's no squeezing. That's not the concern. The concern is, as we've discussed previously, that we're worried about over the dechol. Tarabonin, the spazul peres b'chotzer, a different halacha. If fruit got scattered in a courtyard, malakar al yad v'yad v'ochel, you could pick up a small amount of fruits at one time and eat them. Avloy l'tocha sav, avloy l'tocha kupa, you can't gather them together in a basket or in a box. Shloyas g'derish ois b'chol. So Pash Pshat in the Gemara, the concern here is that of Uvda D'chol. However, there are Rishonim that suggest that the concern here is Boirer, and the Raya is because the Mishnah says you should do it by hand and eat right away. When we learned Hilchas Boirer earlier in the Masechta, Daf Ayin Dalad, we said that how may Boirer be conducted on a Shabbos if you take a little at a time and you eat it right away? So it's a raya that the concern here is boirer, and others say that the concern here is ma'amer, gathering together fruit in the field. But as we've discussed previously, many Rishonim of the opinion that ma'amer only implies in the field where the fruit grew. Here it's not necessarily a case where the fruit grew in that field. And furthermore, ma'amer is only when you tie the bundles together. Here you're gathering the fruit, and putting into a box or into a container, but that you're not tying them together, so that probably isn't Amr. Amr Yehuda Mishmul. Moidai Rabbi Yehuda, Ein Sochten Saperis, the Mishnah said, we can't squeeze fruit, Melach of Schita. Says the Gemara, Amr Yehuda Mishmul, Moidai Rabbi Yehuda L'chamim B'zeis V'anomim. By grapes and olives, Rabbi Yehuda is going to agree that even if you didn't squeeze them, and they came out by themselves, no matter what the purpose that you have those eight grapes and olives put away for, you may not consume that liquid on Shabbos. My tama, kivin dal schita nenu, they're meant to be squeezed. Yov date, that most grapes, most olives are used for juice. So even if you designated them for eating, it doesn't make a difference. You want the juice. And therefore, we're concerned that if you can see juice coming out of them, you may come to squeeze them on Shabbos. V'ulamar, Cholak of Yehuda, Abzeis Manovim. If you put away the olives and the grapes for eating, not for drinking, we could be lenient. Rav Yochanan, Halachah of Yehuda B'Shaperis, that indeed, Rav Yehuda disagrees by all fruit. He says it depends if you intended to eat them or you intend to drink them. And the Halachah is like Rabbi Yehuda by all other fruits. Then Allah Rabbi Yehuda b'zeis v'anovim. By b'zeis v'anovim we pass like Rabbanan. Amar Rabba, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul. Moida Rabbi Yehuda l'chom b'zeis v'anovim. Rabbi Yehuda agrees with the chom b'zeis v'anovim that the liquid that comes out from them by themselves, even if you put them away for eating, you may not consume. Or moida chom Rabbi Yehuda b'sha peris. When all other peris, the chom will agree to Rabbi Yehuda that if they're put away for eating, then the juice that comes out, there's no concern to consume. Ask the Gemara, if Rabbi Yehuda is agreeing to the Chachamim, and the Chachamim agreeing to Rabbi Yehuda, Amalei Rabbi Yirmiyahu, Rabbi Abba, Elamai Pligi, so what is the Machloikas? Amalei Chisishkach. He says, when you'll try to find, if you'll work, and you'll try to understand, you'll come up with a Machloikas. Amar Rav Nachum Yitzchak, Mistabra, I'll identify where we have a machloikus. But tutim v'remayna pligim. They're arguing regarding berries and pomegranates. The Tanya, zeisim shemashach mehen, shemen, olives from which the oil oozed out, v'novim shemashach mehen yayin, and grapes from which the wine oozed out, v'chnison, and they were put away, bein loichel, bein lamashkin, whether they were put away for eating or drinking, whatever my goal was, it doesn't make a difference. the juice that comes out on Shabbos, hayoytz mehen asur, because we're concerned that you may come to squeeze them on Shabbos. Tusim shemashach me'mayim, berries that water came at them, the berry juice. Rimanim shemashach me'mayim, the liquid that comes out of rimanim was called yayin, because it had an acidic taste like wine. V'chnisim lo'eichlim, and you had put away those berries or pomegranate for eating. Hayotzmem mutter. Then what came out by itself is mutter. Lamashkin, if you have put away for drinking purposes, or lestam, you didn't identify, you didn't indicate for why you put it away, is osur. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. V'cham oimrim, and the chamah hol bein lo'ichlam bein lamashkin, it makes no difference what your purpose was, anything that comes out is mutter. So, the machlokes, so now we've identified what the machlokes is. The machlokes is by tusim and remoinim. The Rabbanon treat tusim like a remoinim, like shemen v'yayin. Rabbi Yehuda treats tusim v'anovim like other fruits. So, if that's the case, the Gemara said, the Gemara wanted to find a machlokes between, asks Rashi, where do we still have a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim? This is so obvious why we have the machlokeses. So Rashi explains that although this braisa is speaking about tusim v'anovim, where it's clear they're disagreeing, it doesn't mean that this is the only place they're disagreeing. This braisa happens to be speaking about tusim v'anovim and telling us that that's why they disagree. But since it's not compelling that this is the only place that they disagree, that's why he wasn't clear how to explain where and where not do we have a machlokes of Yehuda and the Rabbanan.